Noah and Kate, Chapter 11. Noah's mouth stopped moving. He lifted his head and looked at her, his eyebrows raised. So she had found his kryptonite at last, thank God. Nothing put the brakes on casual sex like the M word. But this kind of kryptonite needed an explanation, and clearly he was waiting for one. He didn't move or let go of her, but his eyes traveled slowly down to her left hand, still splayed against his chest. The lack of anything sparkly on her ring finger made his eyebrows shoot even higher as he looked back up at her. I want to get married, she said. Not helping, she chastised herself. And I'm going to, very soon. He narrowed his eyes into a kind of amused squint, and his tongue peeked out to touch the center of his upper lip. She remembered that gesture of his. He'd always done that when something had confused him, usually something written in Spanish, and it was as adorable on him now as it had ever been. What I mean is, we can't do this. I'm planning on getting married. To whom? He finally asked, amusement trading places with the alarm that had darkened his eyes. Damn him. Damn that crooked smile, those dancing eyes. I don't know yet. Ah, not you, if that's what you're thinking. He tilted his head to the side, like a Labrador trying to understand a strange new noise, and deepened the squint. I'm not proposing or anything, she said quickly. To you, I mean. Okay, he said, dragging out the last syllable. Still not clear on a few things, like how you can be engaged and not know. You're flustering me, Kincaid, she said, pushing against him. He sat back as she stood up and wobbled a bit, as unsteady on her feet as if she'd been drinking. I can't think straight with you all over me, all naked and... She sputtered, her eyes wandering over his chest. And everything? He laughed softly. I'm not naked, Malone. But you were when I got here, she challenged. Sort of. And at the lake, you were. He grinned with evident pride and tucked his chin a little. So you did notice. Seemed like you were trying to look anywhere, but at the point is, I can't concentrate with you getting me all hot and bothered. Noah pursed his lips, like a laugh was trying to burble out, and he was determined not to let it. After enjoying the moment for a few seconds more, he looked down and away, releasing her from her discomfort. How about this? He offered, rising from the couch. I'll put some coffee on, and you can start from the beginning. Good idea, she breathed out a sigh. As he moved past her, she sat back down, collapsing with a whoosh as if her legs just couldn't take it anymore. It was all she could do not to curl up in a ball and bury her face in a cushion. She didn't watch him walk to the kitchen. She wanted to, of course. She wanted to see his tall, fit form moving gracefully, if only to remember how gorgeously that body had stretched the fabric of his uniform. But with the memory of his lips still tingling on hers, with his scent still clinging to her, and the feel of his strong body still pressing down on her with that wonderful heaviness, she knew that ogling him any further wasn't a great idea. She closed her eyes and breathed in deeply a few times, trying to clear her head. In what felt like 10 seconds, he was back, holding out a mug towards her, the veins of his forearm raised just a little, revealing the strength of the muscles underneath. Forearms. She was ogling his forearms now. God help her. That was fast, she said, taking the mug from him and staring down at the hot liquid. I only had instant, he said, moving past her to take up his place beside her again. Now, where were we? Ah, yes, you said you're getting married to someone. You just don't know who. You only know it's not me. I can explain, she scowled. I'm all ears. More like all eyes, she thought, assessing him as he looked at her with an open but serious expression. If someone could look like they were listening, Noah was doing it. So few people were good listeners, but she had always known him to be genuinely great at it. Even in the dim light, his eyes glinted with a patient curiosity that made her feel like she was the most important thing in his world right now. She found it touching and terrifying at the same time. "It's simple, really," she said, taking a sip of the surprisingly good coffee. "And you really don't need the details, but I've spent the last 10 years in one dead-end relationship after another, wasting my time with men whom I thought were the forever type, but who ended up being, well, not. So I've had enough. Now that I'm 30, I've decided to quit fucking around and get serious about living the life I want." He nodded. "Okay, I'm with you there. That's what I've decided to do, too." "Yes," she said brightly. "Yes, exactly. You get it. I just don't want to waste any more time. I'm going to find a man who wants to get married." A little crease burrowed into the center of his brow.
"So, you mean you want to find someone you love enough to marry? Someone who shares your outlook and wants the same things? Someone you could picture building a life with at some point?"
Even hearing the words in his low, almost husky voice made her shiver a little. He was right, of course, but he had missed a pretty important point. "Well, not entirely. I've tried all that Hallmark Channel stuff. It didn't work. Real life isn't like a made-for-TV romance."
"It isn't?"
Okay, he was playing with her now. The impish tug of his lips, the sparkle of his eyes. Oh, he was enjoying this way too much. "You, of all people, know it isn't. And I don't want to pretend it is anymore, Noah. I don't want to start dating someone and get serious with him and start thinking this might be for real, but keep the most important things about myself a secret until I find out 6 months or a year later that he doesn't want kids or he was married once and has sworn it off for good. I don't want to waste my time. I want to make it clear up front that I am looking for a serious relationship leading to marriage and a family."
"Well, I don't know if I'd bring this up on the first date," he mused.
"Why not?" she demanded hotly. "Seriously, why the hell not? I'm sick of all the games. I'm sick of the coyness and the artificiality. And I think a lot of guys are, too. If a guy is just looking for a bit of fun, it must be frustrating to find out months into a casual relationship that the woman wants to get serious."
"Yeah, it is."
"He speaks from experience," she thought. Jealousy pinched her again, out of nowhere, along with a side pinch of bitterness that he was one of those guys who casually dismissed or even threw away the very thing she wanted most. "If I can go on a date and talk about my job and my hobbies and how many lovers I've had, why can't I also say I want to get married and have kids?" she asked. "Why is that so terrifying to men?"
He shrugged. "It's not. It's just, well, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, I guess. Guys don't think like that, is all."
"What cart? What horse?" she demanded, crossing her arms over her chest. He looked up at the ceiling and thought.
"Look, I know a lot of women think about their wedding day practically from the moment they're born, but guys are different. We don't usually think about getting married or having kids until we meet someone we want to do those things with. It doesn't even enter our minds."
She narrowed her eyes. "Men think about sex before they meet someone they want to do it with."
"Well, of course," he grinned. "So do women. Sex is a fundamental need, Katie May."
Okay, he was right about that one. She scowled, trying to salvage the point that had somehow gotten lost. "Connection and intimacy are fundamental, too," she said. "People of the older generation knew that better than we do. They knew how important marriage and family are."
"I know," he said patiently. "I'm just saying, you have to build up to the idea of marriage and family. You can't start there."
A new idea seemed to occur to him. "Think about it this way. How would you feel if you met some guy and went to dinner and he just blurted out, 'I'm looking for someone to have sex with. I think you'll do.' How would you feel?"
"Been there," she said wryly. "Not good."
"Right. And why?" She blinked. "Why? Because it's
crass and impersonal. Like he just wants to use you, regardless of who you are or how you feel about each other. Yes. He raised his eyebrows at her.
There is no way that is the same thing, she protested. Not even close, Kincaid. I'm just trying to find someone who shares my goals in life. It's not nearly the same thing as some creep who just wants a one-night stand.
I think it kind of is.
It is not, she insisted. But even if you think it is, I'm not being crass and impersonal about it at all. I'm only going to date guys I meet on the site. So, yeah, what is that site, anyway?
It's called marriageminded.com. It's for single people who want to get married.
Noah's features darkened almost exactly the way Paige's had when she'd first seen the site.
Great. Now both Kincaids were against it.
Are you sure that isn't one of those mail-order bride things? He asked. People looking for a way into the country, that sort of thing.
Absolutely not. Jeez. Why can't anybody see this the way I do?
She felt a flush creeping up her neck, a flush of embarrassment and defensiveness mixed together.
It's perfectly okay for someone to go on a dating site and say they're looking for anonymous, impersonal one-night stands, but I talk about getting married and suddenly the alarm bells go off? That's crazy, Noah.
I just don't think it's coming from the right place, that's all, he soothed, reaching for her hand. I would worry about the kind of guy who'd place an ad on a site like that. Any guy who just wants a Stepford wife is probably not someone you should be with.
No one said anything about a Stepford wife. Jeez, she said irritably. Look, forget I even mentioned it.
Tears began welling up in her eyes. Hot tears that gathered and threatened, filming over her vision and making her throat clench up. Angry tears, bitter tears. Tears she didn't want Noah to see.
Hey, it's okay, he said, obviously having seen her tears anyway. I get why you're on there. I just worry about the guys on there, that's all. Can you check them out first, before you agree to a date?
Yes, of course. She wiped at her eyes. Just like any other site, there's certain steps you take before you agree to meet. And it's not like you fill out the marriage license on the first date. You're just meeting someone who has the same goals you do.
Her voice wavered a little, and she realized how pathetic she sounded, defending some website like it was the hill she had chosen to die on.
A scene from It's a Wonderful Life flashed into her mind then. George Bailey, almost in tears, desperately grasping Mary by the shoulders and swearing he never wanted to get married. Mary, almost in tears herself, crying out his name like he was being such a fool. Cut away to the next scene, the two newlyweds leaving for their honeymoon in a spray of rice and smiles and well wishes from family and friends. If Kate's own George Bailey, sitting right next to her on the couch, could ever love her the way the movie George had loved his Mary, Kate wouldn't have to go searching for a lukewarm approximation of love on some stupid site. But her George, his voice full of warmth and tenderness and something so infuriatingly, seductively similar to love, was not going to be tempted into honeymooning in a ramshackle old house with a chicken turning in the fireplace and exotic travel posters on the crumbling walls. Kate fought back tears at the very thought of it, refusing to allow even the briefest hint of such a thing to take seed in her mind. She simply had to stop fantasizing about any kind of future with Noah, and that was that.
Katie, Noah finally said in a low, soft voice, why force it? Why don't you just let things happen naturally? Let someone fall madly in love with you and beg you to marry him.
She angled back and pinned him with her eyes. Someone like you? If I let things happen between us naturally, will you fall in love with me and beg me to marry you? He hesitated, his eyes flaring. I didn't think so, she said flatly. She stood up, anger and sorrow making her more stable on her feet. She walked aimlessly towards the drawn curtains at his front window and flicked at them to gaze moodily out at the bright morning. She hadn't planned on telling Noah any of this, and now she regretted having shared her inner thoughts with such unshielded frankness. He'd probably make fun of her all summer over this, knowing him. He came up behind her,
smoothing her arms and stepping so close that she could feel his strong chest pressing against her back. She wanted to melt into him. He felt so damn good. So strong and muscular. And when he pressed his lips to the back of her neck with a delicate, lingering kiss, the hot chill she felt nearly made her double over. "What I mean is," he said, his voice a soft, low murmur, "you've been so focused on the end result that you've never just enjoyed yourself. You haven't let..." He seemed to be searching for the right words. He found them. "Nature take its course."
"I've done that, I told you," she said.
Her voice came out as a kind of weak whisper, but she knew if she'd spoken any louder, her voice would have cracked completely. Her arms went all goosebumpy under his smooth hands. "Yeah, you've done that," he murmured, his lips moving down to the soft spot where her neck met her shoulder. "But with the wrong guys. For the wrong reasons. If you put so much pressure on a relationship, there's no way you can enjoy it."
"So I should just give up."
She heard the bitterness in her own voice. "Swear off men for good and get a few dozen cats." He laughed softly, his breath whispering over her skin as he moved over to the side of her neck. "No, but when's the last time you just had a fling? A no strings attached, just for fun fling?"
"Never," she said.
"I thought so," he said.
"I just don't think I could do that," she said. "I've wanted to belong to someone for so long, I don't know if I could just let that go and settle for sex without the possibility of love."
"Look," he said, softly, caressing her arm. "We both know we're going in different directions. But we're old friends. We clearly care about each other. And there's an obvious attraction between us, right?" She nodded. Boy, was there. "So why don't we just see where it goes? Why don't we just, you know, enjoy ourselves for a little while? What's the harm in that?"
"So like a friends with benefits thing?"
The disdain in her voice sounded a lot more morally outraged than she felt. She just couldn't quite believe she was saying the words out loud.
"That's not how I would put it exactly," he began.
"Yeah, I don't like it either," she said. "Thank you, Alanis Morissette, for giving millions of men a cute little name for using a friend you don't love for sex." He gently turned her around to face him and gazed down into her eyes with gentle amusement. Amusement and patience, like he had heard the pain in her voice and was giving her a pass for it. "More like a sexy relationship, but with an expiry date," he said, and somehow in his low, soft voice, it didn't sound so bad. "I'm leaving for Panama in 2 months and might not come back. You're looking for Mr. Wright. So it would have to be just a short-term summer thing. But no one will get hurt, because there won't be any expectations. We would remain friends, like always."
"I've seen the same movies you have, Noah. This idea never works out well."
He laughed. "Well, first of all, those are just movies. Real life is a lot more complicated than that. But in the movies, it doesn't work because there's no real reason the couple shouldn't be together in the first place. They're not like us. There won't be any surprises for us. In other words, Kate, there's no way I'd ever fall for you, and we both know it," she thought. He was outright saying it.
"I don't know if I can do that, Noah," she said, swallowing.
He leaned down and kissed the top of her forehead. "Okay. It was just an idea. I'm sorry if I offended you. I wasn't trying to be a jerk." The trouble was, she knew that. She knew perfectly well he wasn't trying to be a jerk or trying to use her. Maybe coming from anyone else, it would have sounded like a creepy sort of come-on, some slime rat way of getting into and out of her pants with minimal fuss. But looking into his eyes, looking at that little smile, feeling the warmth radiating from him, she knew perfectly well what he was offering. He was offering her himself, and nothing more, because that's all he had to give. No promises, no dreamy future, no diamond rings. But he was offering to be with her, to love her in his own way, until it was time to part. And when they parted, he still wanted to be her friend, something no slime rat would ever do. Besides, Paige would kill him if he ever hurt her, and she knew it. But sex without love, without even the possibility of it? In that moment, looking up at him, she accepted the unvarnished truth. Love wasn't enough. Love wasn't the magic key that opened the door to a life of contentment and fulfillment. She loved Noah, and pretty much always had, but at best, he was merely fond of her. It would never develop into anything more than that, mostly because he was determined to never let it. He'd go off to Panama and she'd be left behind to try to find someone she could build a life with, someone who didn't give her hot chills, but who would give her marriage, children, a home. Someone she could settle for. Because if she did this with Noah, if she gave in and had this romance with an expiry date thing with him, she knew she'd have to spend the rest of her life forgetting about it, trying not to compare him to whomever she ended up marrying. She just had to decide if it was worth it. Was it better not to know what he felt like, naked beside her, his hands and his mouth all over her, moving inside her, bringing her pleasure and excitement and intimacy? Or would it be better to have that memory, that brief spark of breathless romance, to carry her through what would probably be a very unexciting life as mother and wife? Because sex with Noah Kincaid would be exciting. There's no doubt in her mind about that. And it would be romantic, at least for her. She had dreamed about being with Noah since 9th grade, and there was no point in trying to tell herself she hadn't. 1 minute, he had just been Paige's annoying twin brother, the gangly kid who was always pulling practical jokes and bugging them during sleepovers, and then one day, seemingly overnight, he had become this incredible specimen of teenage masculinity. She remembered the day it had happened, too, at the cabin, the summer they'd turned 15. She and Paige had been up on the roof. On the roof, for the love of God, because they had read in Cosmo that you could get a great tan from your roof. And from up there, on the blankets they'd stretched out on the peeling shingles, they'd had a great view of the dock, where Noah was swimming with Callum Briggs. Paige had pretended she wasn't looking at Callum's lithe, sun-bronzed body in his Dr. Zog's sex wax board shorts, and Kate had pretended to believe her. When You Ought to Know, by Alanis Morissette, of all people, she thought grimly, had crackled through their portable radio, she and Paige had stood up and started dancing. Right up there on the slanted, unevenly patched roof, their bare feet burning as they tried not to slip on the sharp, gritty shingles. Singing into their water bottle microphones like they knew all about the rage of a woman scorned, when neither of them had so much as gone on a date yet. When Noah had caught sight of them up there, mimicking the headbanger rocking of Alanis's video, he freaked. He and Callum had stormed up the hill from the dock, still dripping wet, shouting at them to get down. Noah had clambered up the old wooden ladder Paige had left propped against the eaves and yelled at them both for being so stupid. He'd literally manhandled Paige onto the ladder as Callum held it still down below and helped guide her down. And when Noah had turned to Kate, his usually jovial face stern and angry, his breathing fast and shallow, she'd felt an unexpected jolt of something. Awareness, really. Noah wasn't a kid anymore. He was becoming a man. If not in body yet, then in spirit at least. Their dad had died when they were 10, before Kate had ever met them, and for the first time it seemed like Noah was growing into the role of man of the family, and doing a pretty good job. He hadn't said anything to her, hadn't yelled at her like he'd yelled at Paige. He had just stood there for a moment, looking at her. Then he'd stretched out his hand towards her and flicked his fingers a couple of times, beckoning her closer. She'd stepped towards him without taking her eyes off him and let her hand slide into his. And that touch, that one simple, innocent touch, had done her in. He had led her to the ladder and put his hand against her back as he helped her turn to step onto the top rung. He squatted beside her, gripping the top of the ladder to steady it, and as she stepped down, she looked at him in sheepish apology. He just looked at her, watching her intently as she began to descend. He stayed there until she felt Callum's supporting hand against the small of her back and was able to step down onto the safety of the deck. In a few deft moves, Noah had swung himself onto the ladder and come down it, yanking it away from its perch against the eaves and shooting Paige another disapproving look before carrying it away. Paige had just laughed, but Kate had been unable to stop staring at him, watching as he and Callum carried the ladder towards the shed where it was usually kept. Only then did she see the changes that puberty was making in him, the way he was filling out and growing taller and developing that broad-shouldered look of a man. Still skinny, still a bit gangly, but beginning to walk with a bit more of a confident stride, holding the ladder with arms that were beginning to show the definition of strong male biceps. She was staring at him when he turned suddenly and looked back at her, his face still stern, but his eyes reaching hers in a way no one's ever had before. Her heart had nearly stopped, but she hadn't been able to look away, not until Paige had dragged her inside to hide from the boys for the rest of the day. But her dreams that night had been of him, reaching out to her, taking her hand like it belonged in his. Now, on impulse, she went up on her toes and kissed him, wrapping her arms around his neck with such suddenness that he lost his footing a little and had to step back from the impact. He laughed through the kiss, pure delight rumbling through him as he kissed her back. Before they got too overheated, she lowered herself back down and looked up at him. "So how would it work?" she asked, unable to take her eyes off his, seeing him so clearly from that day on the roof of the cabin. There would have to be some, I don't know, rules?
Like Jerry and Elaine on Seinfeld? He laughed softly. "No, that didn't work out too well. I just figure we'd just see how it goes. We'd be together when we want, and..."
A little bit of color dusted his cheeks, and she was touched that this was making him flush a little.
"I don't know, we just enjoy being together. I haven't exactly planned this out, you know.
So we'd just be a couple, until we weren't," she said.
"Until you leave for Panama."
"Well, yeah, I mean, if we both know it's going to end, we won't get too carried away. Not like we might if we didn't have this time limit." She wasn't quite sure what he meant by that, but even the idea of his getting carried away with her was tempting enough.
"And so..." She bit her lip, trying to imagine herself allowing a time limit to stop her feelings from running away. Could she really imagine not feeling anything for him as he took off for Central America, possibly for good?
Would we be public about it? Would we tell Paige?"
His face fell and his eyes grew wide. "Oh God, no. No way. She'd be unbearable, don't you think?"
Kate nodded. "Yeah, she'd be sending out the wedding invitations for sure. But it wouldn't have to be like some dirty little secret or anything. We just wouldn't advertise it."
He leaned forward, cautiously, slowly, hinting around for a kiss.
"It would be ours. No one else's."
"Ours. God, did that sound good." She cleared her throat as his lips sought out her jawline and moved along it with slow, delicious kisses.
"And would we be exclusive?" she asked, both fearing the answer and looking forward to it at the same time.
If he brushed it off with a snort and said, "Of course not, I have a different woman every night, babe," then she could say no and feel good about it.
"I would be," he answered in a low murmur. "I can't speak for you and your Prince Charmings, of course."
"Oh, don't worry about that," she said quickly. "I'm not sleeping with anyone until there's a ring involved."
That gentle laugh again, muffled by his mouth being so heavily engaged in kissing her neck.
"Well, I guess I could get you one from the candy machine outside the grocery store, but that's about it."
"You know what I mean," she said. "I'm not going to have sex with anyone else until I'm... engaged, at least. Something about her words made him stop kissing her and look at her, a serious look in his eyes.
One thing, and I mean it, Malone. If at any time you want to stop, I mean at any time, for any reason, it stops. Okay? You just say the word if it's getting too much, or you meet someone and you want to call time. Agreed?
He looked so serious, and she almost laughed.
Really?
I can just call you up and say, it's been real, stud, but I've had enough.
He nodded. Yes. I'm serious. I don't ever want you doing something because you think I want it. If you want to stop and just go back to being friends any time, that's what we do. Okay?
Same with you, I'm guessing. You can end it any time, too?
His eyes flickered and he looked like he was about to say something. He paused and smiled bashfully.
In theory, yes, but I won't want to stop. I can promise you. Guaranteed.
Another hot chill slithered through her. Did he know how sexy he sounded, looking at her so intently, telling her in no uncertain terms that he wouldn't want to stop having sex with her, guaranteed?
Well, we'll see about that, she said wryly. I'm not nearly as confident as you are.
That's okay, he smiled, leaning down again to brush a sensuous kiss across her lips. I'm confident enough for the both of us. She kissed him back, slowly, matching his pace, which was so deliberate and slow and sensual that she could barely stop herself from devouring him. He was teasing her, tormenting her with the promise of every good thing that would happen between them. And it was delicious.
Oh, wait, she said suddenly, breaking the kiss as a thought occurred to her. Condoms.
He laughed, blinking at the suddenness of the interruption. His eyes looked drowsy with desire as they flicked back down to her lips. I think I could take care of that, he said.
No, I mean it's a problem. I'm allergic to latex.
Oh, I see, he said. Well, there's the other kind. She shook her head.
No, they break too easily. Trust me, one broke with my last serious boyfriend and I had a close call thinking I was pregnant for a few weeks. It was pretty scary.
I thought you wanted kids.
But he didn't. Should have seen his face.
Noah's mouth turned down into a pouty kind of smile, like he was both touched and saddened by this bit of information. He reached out and smoothed her hair, his eyes roaming over her. Well, he finally said, however you want to handle it.
I'm on the pill now, she said, so that's not a problem. It's just one of those uncomfortable conversations we should have, you know, since the pill doesn't prevent... I mean, it doesn't stop.
He saw how flustered she was getting and lowered his chin to his chest to look at her pointedly. I don't have any STDs. Do you?
God, no, she said quickly. And I didn't mean to imply you did. I just meant, you know, we need to talk about this.
I appreciate your commitment to our sexual health, he said through a smile and lowered his lips to hers again. But since neither of us will be sleeping with anyone else, he kissed her with one long, slow, sumptuous kiss.
Then it doesn't matter, does it?
Guess not, she murmured through the kiss, closing her eyes to sink into it deeply. She moaned softly at the pure pleasure rippling through her, and the sound made him tense up. He slid his hands down her hips and held her as they kissed, his body molding against hers so she could feel the hard length of him against her hip. Almost in spite of herself, she felt a wave of desire and excitement so fierce it made her draw in a breath, even as his mouth was moving so sweetly over hers. They would take this to his bed, probably, she thought, imagining him taking her hand and leading her back to the cool darkness of his room. He'd lay her down on the bed and crawl on top of her, and he'd probably want to lift up her shirt and get a good look at her chest, like all men did, and after a few more kisses, he'd part her legs with his body and be inside her. That was what she was used to, and had learned to expect from the first encounter with a new man. She hoped this time it might be a little longer, a little more playful, with a bit more time for them to explore each other's bodies before going straight for the main event, But even if he wasn't like that, even if he wasn't into foreplay and teasing and seductive exploration, she hoped just kissing him would make her ready enough for him. She didn't have anything here to help lubricate herself, and she had to hope nature was, indeed, taking its course. Just as she'd expected, he drew back from the kiss and looked down at her, his eyes hot with desire. But the next words he spoke were anything but what she had expected. "So why don't we meet at the cabin tomorrow night?" he said, gently stroking her jaw with his thumb. "I can grill up some dinner, we could watch a movie, see where things go." She blinked, not sure she understood.
"You mean you don't want to do it right now?"
He smiled at her with such sweet amusement, such gentle affection, that she felt like she might melt. "Well, of course I want to," he said quietly, still gently moving his thumb over her jaw. "But I'm wrecked from work, and I'd probably fall asleep on you after."
"Doesn't every guy?"
she asked, truly not understanding. He laughed. "Well, yeah, pretty much. But let's just say once won't be enough for me," he said. "Or you, for that matter. I want to make sure we have all the time we need to really enjoy each other." Oh, dear God, she was never going to survive this.
"Okay," she smiled weakly. "Tomorrow night, then."
"You sure that's okay? I mean, if you really want to, I'm sure I could stay conscious for another hour or so, but..."
"An hour or so?"
"At least," he smiled impishly. She closed her eyes and breathed.
"You're gonna be the death of me, Kincaid."
He leaned close to her ear, kissed it, and whispered, "And you me, Malone."